Guys, I'm very excited about tonight, and I want to pray for us before I start. When we just sang that song, Majesty, it said, "Your love changes me." What was that line? I'm trying to sing it in my head. Your grace has found me, your love has. What does it say? It says, "Your love is what changes me," and what I have on my heart is, I want you guys to know that real love actually changes you. Did you know that? Because we often say, don't change me, take me as I am. You know, leave me in the terrible state I am. And don't try and fix anything because I like to be nowhere at everything. That's just who I am. I'm being a bit express. But it's sometimes how we think, but did you know that love changes you? If someone really loves you, they always see what is in your future, and they always see more for you, and they always love you into a better person. And that is why we are here tonight. Can we get those other lights on as well? Thanks, Hum, for just those who are trying to make notes, trying to make sense of what I'm saying here. And so I want to make a declaration. I want to say this is a church where there's a lot of love. So be ready to change. Not who you are, but in character, be ready to grow, to become bigger, to become better, to become wider in how you love and how you care and how you work with people and the influence you have. We want you to change so that you can be better. Amen? Father, thank you that we can look at the Son, Jesus Christ, and when we see Him and we see who He is, and we use it as a mirror, and then we come aware of who we are, Lord. And then we change. The Bible says we are conformed into His image. So we change. But it is a love that changes us. It's not a hate. It's not a fear. It's not something that drives us into a corner and forces us. It's a love that invites us. You can be more. You can be such a great husband. You can be such an amazing wife. You can be such a great leader. Thank you, Lord, that tonight we only put our eyes on you. We're not trying to change, to be like the images Hollywood holds before us. We're not trying to match the expectations of some other magazine or some other gym or whatever product goes around. We want to change to be more like you, our King. And everyone says, amen. Okay, it took me 2.5 years to realize that we're quite a practical church. People can do stuff around here, you know. They can saag and cup and bow and boor and stuff like that. So last week I started to use as an example tools in my sermon. Who was here last week? Okay, so the sermon was about the axe and the hammer. And the whole week, everyone's just talking about the axe and the hammer. I'm like, why did it take me 2.5 years to use tools as examples? Because everyone knows what I'm talking about and everyone uses it and applies it correctly to their lives. So firstly, well done. And I've learned, so I'm going to stick with the tools. So today, this sermon is called Renewing Your Mind, Part 1, The Electric Fence. How's that? How's that? I mean, try and forget that tonight. Okay, go home and tell yourself, I'm going to try and forget that tool that Vanna spoke about. And I bet you won't be able to. Okay, the electric fence. That's where we're going tonight. A quick recap. I thought last week was important for us, so please go and get the sermon. I think it's on there. Regis does a great job. He compresses it a bit, puts it on the internet. If you want to get the sermon, you're not sure, just go to the Connect table. They'll sort you out. If you're single and you want a boyfriend, go to the Connect table. If you want some very big theological answer, go to the Connect table. Basically, it leads to everywhere, all right? Is that okay? Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. That's Jesus speaking. He says, follow me. And I'm going to make you something. I'm going to change you. That's what he says. If you want to walk after me, be ready to change. You won't be able to stay the same, because where I am taking you, this road is, it's going to be in such a way in your life that you won't be able to stay the same. If you stay the same, you're going to lose him. He's going to walk because he's moving. And so he's looking at your life right now and he says, follow me and I want to make you a fish of men. I'm going to make something of you. I'm going to change you in such a way that you will become everything you are called to be, so that you can be a fish of men. So lives can change around you. And so he wants to come into every area of your life and mess it up for you. Okay? Because we think, as he invites us, whoa, how am I going to do this? But he's actually coming in and he's restoring and he's building. And so he says, I want to come into your finances. I want to get in there. I want to get into your marriage. I want to come in there. And then I want my presence to change things around so that you become more like me in that area or in this area. I want to do something with your life. And so last week, if we go to the next slide, just summarizing for you guys in 1 minute that was not here. We said there's an axe and there's a hammer that God gives you. The axe is often in your life when you have to turn away from something. It's not a process. You don't think about it. I use an example. I'll throw it out there again. If you come to Christ, ready, what's my Jesus for here? Just quickly, just hop on the basement for us. And so we said, if this is Jesus there, walk it to Christ for a second, boom, your bachelor's is over. So this is really part of you helping me. I'm not trying to be weird. Okay. So he's saying every person spends time this side of the cross. At one moment, if you are blessed, the happiest moment in your life, you meet Christ. And then you go to this side. I call that side the death side, this side the life side. Here we have life. Sometimes on this side, we try and do stuff to please God. We say, I'm never going to do this thing again. Yeah, right. 1 week, I'm back there. I'm not trying not to do that. Yes, I do that again. Because I actually go in circles this side. Trying to please God. But the only thing that can please God is the blood of Jesus. So when I come and I ask for Jesus to cover me with his blood and be my savior, God is pleased with me. And so now that I find myself in the life side, I'm saved, I'm born again, I know Jesus. Very fast. I look at the world a bit differently. Because when I look at Christ, I see a God that I love. All right? Whereas at this side, mostly I was scared of him. If I did something, it was because if I do not do it, I'm going to be in trouble. Or I won't tick that box. The moment I move over to this side, I'm like, wow, he is pleased with me. How can I change my life to show that I love him more? As I follow him, how can I allow him to enter every area of my life and invite him in and change it? Not because I'm scared of him, but I love him so much. And I want to change my life to show to the world that not only did he die for me, but that I love him to death. All right? That's how the believer thinks. And so we said there's two tools. Thank you, Rudy. That God gives the believer in this side. It's the axe and the hammer. And how the axe works is as you see Christ and as he comes into your life, he shows you he wants to set you free. So for example, okay, these things happen. Also happen in our town. So I'm just going to be honest. Let's say you were in an adulterous relationship. All right? As an example. And you meet Christ and he shows you that thing must end. You use the axe. Why? Because you don't work through exiting an adulterous relationship. You don't treat it moderately like wine. We said, okay, it's okay to have a glass of wine with your meal. It's not a sin. You don't have to. All right. But wine you may have. Do you agree with me? Okay. We all know if you have too much, the Bible says it will ruin your life, your marriage and your work and everything else. But you could use wine in a way that glorifies God. Are you with me? Can I say that? But you cannot use an adulterous relationship in that way. You cannot measure it. You cut it off. All right? You use the axe. So he said in this side, as you look at Christ, you say, Lord, help me to use the axe. You go to your friends, you say, guys, what must I cut off? And you swing. And you stop it dead end. I'm not going to go into more examples. You guys are with me. And then we said, you also have the hammer. The hammer represents building. You are God's work in progress. You are God's building. By the way, that is the theme for our church for the next year. It'll be launched at our conference, Convergence, God's building. You are a building in progress. And so Peter says, or Paul says, it's not that I am already that finished product. It's not that I know God to that intimate place where I want to, but I reach towards that. These things behind me, I'm letting them go. I'm using the axe, but to these things I'm building. If you go to the next slide, just to finish off, he said, you can leave behind who you are not with speed. Which means often there's things with the axe, if you swing it, it's over. You might have to deal with a few things after that. Okay, it's not easy exiting some kind of sin that really entered your life to hurt you, but you can stop it now. But when it comes to the hammer, often it speaks of building, endurance. Are you up for building step by step, week by week? Every morning, opening your word, quiet time by quiet time, worship by worship, note by note, book by book. Can you carry on so that God can build you into the person that you can be? Are you with me? That was a recap of last week. I need water. Great. This week, renewing your mind. We're moving from stuff that breaks and builds to things that shocks. Electric fence. By the way, who've been shocked by one of those? That's not nice, eh? There's better things than that. Okay. We're going to take mostly one scripture, and that is it for tonight. There's another one I'll refer to, but this is your main thing. This scripture, I'm asking you to memorize. You must know this. Since the first year I gave my heart to the Lord, more than 10 years ago, I know this off by heart. You should, because this is so helpful. Romans 12 verse 1. If you hear Romans 12, there's two things you think. I'm giving you a tip here. The first two verses tells you about changing your life, renewing your mind, and the rest speaks about the gifts and the body where you fit in. There's Romans 12 for you. I appeal to you therefore, okay? I appeal to you, ek vra vir julle, ek subat julle. Brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Let's go to that next one. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, if we go back just to that previous slide, thanks, Steph. I highlighted some words for you, and I want you, if you've got your notebook here, is just to maybe as we go along, write that word down, because this is such a loaded scripture, and if you get this in your heart, you're walking away out of this evening with something that you will carry with you for the rest of your life. All right? And if you're new around here, and thanks for coming. It's awesome to have you in our home. You're welcome to be a part of this family. We like doing this, you know, having a book so that maybe in the week you can look at it. It's very cool for personal studies. And otherwise, if you're visiting us, just sit back and relax. Okay, and relax, okay? Whatever you want to do. Relax. Okay. First thing that I want to mention is that Paul is speaking here to brothers, which gives us the tip that he's speaking to believers. Okay. These are people that's given their hearts to God. Now, the interesting thing about the Roman letter, that if you read it, if you've read through it before in an accountability group, you will know that he speaks a lot about the law, he speaks a lot about grace, speaks about the Jews, speaks about the Gentiles. All that you need to know right now is this is a mixed audience that he's addressing right here. Some people came from the nation of Israel, had their fathers and their fathers, and if you carry on, you'll get to David maybe, and other people were Greeks, they were Gentiles, they did not know God until Christ came. Okay, so you've got a mixed bunch here, all right? And so the important thing here is he's trying to help them to become more like Christ. He can make them fishers of men. And he speaks here, this whole talk of faith gets to their bodies. And he says, guys, I want you to do something with your bodies. Not your faith, nie jou geloof deep in jou hart nie, nie my binnenkamer, your body, the thing that's seen. Okay? So he's talking about things in your life that will be visible to other people, your body. Right? And he says, do this with your body, present it to God. Give your body to God. I want you to give your body to God. If I can put it in this way, if Jesus Christ came past and he said, follow me, what Paul is saying, follow him. Don't think you like Jesus. Get up and go. Take your body where your faith is going. Are you with me? And so here he says a very important thing. He says, as a living sacrifice, speaking to both the Gentiles, all the nations that didn't know God before, and the Jews. Because here's the thing. The Jews knew a lot about burnt offerings. They knew about killing stuff because in the Old Testament, blood had to be shed to pay for sin. All right? You've heard those stories. We're not going to go in that deep. But the only way to pay for sin is through death. So God provided animals. All right? And then Jesus became the Lamb of God. Never again in this world will an animal be killed for sin in God's kingdom. Never again. It still happens around the world, but it is wrong because the offering of Christ was enough. So he's speaking to the Jews and he's saying, guys, we want living sacrifices, not dead ones. Okay, because they had a long list of stuff to do. But often if you finish with your list in 7 o'clock in the morning, you can just hang around and do nothing. And Paul said, no, those days are over. He wants you for service. He wants your body. To love him in such a way that you follow him, you hear his voice, you walk after him, you shine a light, a living sacrifice. And to the Gentiles, now these guys were off. Okay. It was reported at one time, that these guys did a horrendous thing. These guys in the church were sleeping with his father's wife. The guy. Okay. These guys had no boundaries. They went to the temple and sleeping with prostitutes was a part of worship ritual. Okay. So for them, their bodies was given unto absolute lawlessness. And so he's speaking to both. He says, I want you guys to give your bodies to God as a living sacrifice. And then he says, holy and acceptable to God. And this is your spiritual worship. Now I'm going to make this very plain. I'm going to start at the bottom. If you came to church tonight for the first time, maybe you've been to church like a while back, you're back here and it's a bit tense and you're here and someone said, listen, you must come because you promised, you actually don't want to be here. I'm sorry about that, but you are here and for that I'm glad. But let's say tonight something touches your heart. Let's say you actually wanted to be in a relationship with God, but you were scared, he was afraid of you mad at you, and now you realize he's not, he's inviting you, and he's speaking to you in your heart and he says, go back next week. And you, because this is now a new thing, bring your body back in. The Bible says what happens is spiritual worship. This thing, hierdie bene dra hierdie lyf hier in en jy sit, want iets het in jou hart gebeur. It is spiritual worship. That's why it's so powerful. If there's a sin that's ruling in your life and you chop it with the axe and you change, the Bible calls it spiritual. So sometimes we think, no, I'm going to be spiritual. I'm going to pray in tongues for a long time. And we do pray in tongues. I pray in tongues. And I was spiritual. That is also spiritual. But let me tell you what, if you don't give your body as a living sacrifice, that praying doesn't help. He wants your body to shine a light to this world. Okay? So here's a very, very elementary example. But what about you? Where are you at in your life? And what is God saying to you about how your life is doing? What are you doing with your body? Because you see what used to happen in the old times is people tried to separate what you did with your body with your spirit. They'd say, your spirit is saved. That's good. But with your body, you may do what you want. And God says, no. If the heart is unto God, it gets expressed through the body. Give your body. Now, how do we do that? This is talking about the axe and the hammer. Can you see that? It's about changing. It's about building towards. It's about coming. It's about getting up when you're tired, doing something when you don't feel like it, but you know He spoke to you, and that's called worship. But how? Gives us further guidelines. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. There's the key, by the renewal of your mind. That's the key. The renewal of your mind. And so you can come to church and something happens in your heart and maybe you like the message, maybe you don't, maybe you like the singing, maybe you don't, maybe it's too soft for you, maybe too loud, you're not sure. But if God comes and He touches you in your heart, in some other way it must get here. It's not disconnected. You must be able to come to the place where you say, this is what God said to me in my heart, this is what it means, so I'm going to obey Him. And so when the Bible says, do not be conformed to this world, I want you to understand one thing very clearly. Is if you do nothing, you will conform. You've already conformed. This world makes you its own automatically. Remember the river? If you don't swim, you're going. And what Paul is saying, watch out, and I want you guys to get this, watch out that you do not become too warm and fuzzy and comfortable in this world and the way things are done here. Because there's a kingdom in heaven, the Holy Spirit given, that's going to show you of a kingdom that's not here. And I want you to be transformed to live in that kingdom. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Just work this computer. Okay, so you are told to renew your mind. That's a verb. It's a werkwoord. And so what it means is you and I, we have a responsibility as we come to church, we open our Bible to take this thing and work with it. We've been doing it the last while in intercession when we prayed together. We said we're going to pray prophetically over our church. And so everything that we want to see happen in this church, we prayed over this church. Who of you guys were in intercession? Quite a lot was there. And so we prayed, Lord, we are a loving church. We said, Lord, we are a church that welcomes new believers. Lord, we are a church that loves visitors. Lord, we are a church that worships You. And so we're trying to pray into our spirits what we're seeing in the future. That's called renewing of your mind. Now, in a baseline example, if someone always told you you're a failure, someone maybe always spoke over you, you'll never do this, you'll always do that, that thing has left something on your heart. And so what the Bible says is a way that that can change. God can come and renew your mind. And everything will change in your life. This is very, very important. We want to get to the electric fence. I'm going to own it on. Now, here's the thing. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 15. But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. I know this is a bit of a mature topic on the table tonight, but I don't want you to tap out, okay? Now, how this works is as you come into God's presence, the beginning is hard, but something gets you to church. Something brings you in. It's a faith, okay? As you stand in worship, as you have got your little book, or you just remember well, if you've got a great memory, I can't do that, I need to write. And you spend time with God, something starts to happen in your life. The Word of God is being sown into your life, like on a piece of land. And then it starts to grow. And you start to look through a window that Jesus gives you. You think, you start to think like Him. And what happens, if we can go to the next slide, is if something comes at you, this is where I want to get, from the enemy to get you off balance, something in your heart warns you, this is not from God. This is not Him speaking. And so this is just a statement I'm making. Every believer has an electric fence to help you discern when a thought, idea, a fear, or a plan is not from God, but it is coming into your mind and almost giving you advice. Okay? And it links with that scripture in Romans 12 too, that by testing, you may discern whether it's the will of God. Now, this probably not the angel won't come down and appear to you and explain to you everything. That will be nice, all right? But most of the time, something will happen in your mind. An alarm will go off. This is not from God. This is not good for me. All right? Because that's how the enemy works. If he can get into your heart, into your mind, then he's got you. Now, I want to speak to us, guys. What often happens in our life is that we have electric fences. You with me with the whole electric fence, okay? Whoa, is this from God? Is this not? I think I must speak with someone. I think I must pray with someone about this decision. Okay, that's your electric fence. It's your conviction. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. All of us has one. Sometimes the thing is just like a truck went over it, okay? Anything can come in and anything can come out. And what I want to challenge you tonight, this is where I'm going. I want you to put up your electric fence again. I want to say, God, I've got the mind of Christ. There's a calling in my life. I've got an axe and a hammer. I can cut stuff off. I can build. But Lord, help me. When the enemy comes, just take me away from where you're taking me. Speak with me. Sometimes we have an electric fence, but it's like we've got a little gadget to tune it. So certain things it will block, but other things we let through. Let me tell you something about sin. Something that gets you and the enemy gets you. In any area, it spills over. That's how it works. If you're unfaithful in one area, long enough, I cry clankies. Okay? So how's your electric fence doing tonight? Are you just open? Can anything just come in? Okay? When people, here's a good question. Guys, I'm not condemning you, I'm helping you. When you're with your friends and you're around the braai feed and the guys are starting to talk and it gets to that place, is there something registering? Is there something saying, this was a moment when this conversation went beyond my electric fence. I can't agree with this. All right, that's a very good thing to think through. Are you the one that takes the conversation across the electric fence? Okay. You have the mind of Christ. And He's there to guide you. So if you want to be transformed, if you want to be all you can be, you have to be transformed to be more like God. And we cannot conform to this world. Does that make sense? So I want to ask you something. Do you want me to ask it to you? Do you want me to tell it to you? Both. I'll start with asking. Guys, if you think about the mess you're in right now, or just a while back, and you ask yourself this question, was there maybe along the way, was there along the road before you got into this hole, was there somewhere along this line, an impulse that went out, an electric fence that warned you about the situation? Was there at one moment, one person said, whoa, whoa? Sometimes it's our mom, we never listen. Ugh, sorry guys, just how it works. I can't change that. We don't listen to our moms. They're the people that love us the most. It's crazy. But maybe, if you were awake in your heart at that moment, you go back, most of you would say, man, there was just a thought. There was something telling me this is not a good idea. But I wanted it. I wanted to do it. I'm not being hard on you. I don't want you to feel, oh, my life is forbay in here. Oh, no, it's not true. All I'm saying is that you can restore your electric fence. And God can build up what was broken down. He will help you. We will help you as a church. I need to rebuild often in my life. I mess up. I'm not perfect. All right? But if you go back in time, probably it was the voice of the Holy Spirit helping you. Don't go there. I don't want to go too ahead of next week, but I want to drop one thing with you guys. That's my boy crying. I don't hear it anymore. I don't want to talk about sin too much, but you can use your brain. Let's say this is where you really mess it up. Yeah. This is where you lose it. This is the place where you say, man, I never want to be here in my life. If you're married, I never want to be here in my marriage. I never want to be here with my kids. I never want to be in this position. Whatever, you know what's in your heart. And let's say, here's where your fence is. If you don't want to get there, don't let this thing come 1 meter over your fence. Don't let it come 1 meter over. If you want to be faithful to your wife, guys, and girls, don't cross the line with pornography. Because you're on your way. On your way there. Only here. But remember what Scripture says, and we're going to get to that next week. You are constantly being lured by the enemy. James 1. You're being lured. Jy word gelok soos 'n vis. Wat noem hulle dit? Miliebom. Jy word gemiliebom, okay? Om uit te kom. Ladies, you won't know, but it's a very smart way of catching fish. But listen up. I needed to break the tension a bit. If you start on a road, it's always difficult to go back. But you've got the axe from God, amen? So you can chop it off. But when you take, this is my last slide. When you take something, and we have that last slide, that is not from God. If you take it, if you think, guys, I want to be straight, if you have a thought about a woman that you should not have, I'm going to try and make a judgment here. When the thought comes, it's not your thought. Are you with me? Enemies, principalities, they plant stuff in you. If you take it, it becomes yours. That's your electric fence. Your electric fence is around your mind. Can you discern what is from God, what is not? Because don't feel bad because you get it. Because if you chop it off right there, you've won. Because the enemy also came to Christ and tempted him. He said, no, his electric fence was on. And so recognize when it's the voice of the deceiver and your fence go off. Don't measure it up. Don't measure and say, I can handle this up to that. Don't do that. Okay? It'll be much better for you to step back, put your fence on. God, I'm going to trust you. It's called the renewal of your mind. The band, you guys can come up. And so this is how it works. Just an example. I didn't plan this, but I want to help you guys with this. How do you handle it when something reaches your electric fence? You renew your mind. All right? So let's say, I'm going to keep on with that example. Girls, for you, it might be the same thing. It might be having a desire to be in a relationship with someone that you know you should not be in for whatever the reason. Okay? But let's say you know that. Your fence got off. You need to renew your mind. If you ignore it, if you just leave it, it's broken your fence. You need to say, Lord, this is how you renew your mind. This thing is not from you. It's not welcome in my mind. I don't take this. I don't take this thought, it's not mine. And so the enemy has helped me. Yes, please, the band on. The enemy has helped me. Oh, the enemy. Sorry, guys. I'm talking to the band and with you guys. He's trying to lure me. But the Holy Spirit has taught me one thing. When I get a thought that gets to my fence, and I know them by now because it often works in patterns. Sometimes you get tempted by the same stuff. Did you know that? Okay. Ladies get tempted to buy shoes. For me, my skoene breek, my vrou, jy weet, sy soubat my skoene te breek. But it's different for all of us. When my fence get breached with a thought, immediately I say loud, I say, that's a trap. That's a trap. I say it out loud. Even if I'm walking and something pops into my head, I say, that's a trap, Father, ek vat hier daai nie. And I want you guys to have that ability. Put your fence up. Okay? Can you do that tonight? Can we put our fences up? You cannot accept a thought about yourself that God doesn't have towards you. And I was talking a lot about sin now, but I want to tell you also about your worth, about your calling. If you feel, yeah, you're nowhere, let me tell you what, your electric fence should go off. That's not God speaking to you. Did you know that? Something comes into your heart, tells you that you are not sufficient, or you're not good enough to mean something. Is that God speaking? No. Is your fence going off? Be honest with me, because if it's no, put it up tonight. And so I want each one of you tonight, as we, if we can just sing second last song, can we do that? Then I want you guys to ask God for one area, one intruder. And then I want you to put a fence up. And I want you to say, God, if this thing, Holy Spirit, if this thing comes near my electric fence, warn me so that I can chase it away. Renewing your mind. That's how God grows disciples. That's how my life changed. I fought for my faith. It's not handed on a platter. And so you better be up for it, okay? If you want to be a disciple, if you want to follow Christ, don't start walking if you're not up for it, because you're going to have to work it in your mind. You can't sit and say, ah, man, this is my God's will. No, no, no. He's given you the opportunity to work. Amen? So can I make a deal with you guys? There's a lot of people here tonight. Awesome to have you here. Amen? But while you are here, I want to just give some guys permission. If you are here tonight, and maybe, okay, you are here because... If you're not here, then I ask you where you were, okay? I hope I don't do that. If you are here because maybe you feel like you must be here because you're a small group leader. If you are here for any other reason than wanting to be here, I want you not to come again the rest of the year. Okay? But if you want to grow, I want you to come. Is that a deal? If you want to grow, if you want to grow and say, I want to do this, I want to use my axe and my hammer, and ek weet nie wat ek nog alles by gaan uitkom nie, but I want to grow. And you're honest with yourself, you say, I need to build in my life. I need to. Then I want you to be here. Deal? Amen. You guys can stand up.